iHeartRadio Canada. Thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've actually seen you in concert more than any artist that I've seen.
Have you? Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That's so lovely. Thank you.
That being said, who do you think that you could see in concert over and over without ever getting sick of?
I could probably see Bjork. I've seen Bjork many times. I could see her, you know, over and over. She switches it up every time. So I think I could, you know, and she's got the orchestra and there's incredible visuals, always incredible choir and so many different musicians. So I think I could probably do that. And it's actually, you know, maybe not everyone could, but I adore her. So I could probably go with her.
No, that's a good answer. Yeah. I like that. Awesome. Congrats on the release of the song Easy Lover. A lot of people are calling this like the greatest comeback in history. And I've heard that word a lot, comeback. Do you consider
the greatest comeback in history? Wowza. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. I mean, yeah, you know what? I've had such a positive reaction from this song. And I wrote it a long time ago and it kind of stood the test of time. So I wasn't sure if it was going to still stand out, you know, after all this time, but I guess it did. And people have been really appreciating it. And then I got Big Sean on it because he loved the song and we've known each other for a while. And I've always wanted to do something with him. So it was one of those things, just everything just like came together really, really nicely. And I've been waiting to come back for a long time. So thank God, finally came around. And then I can get back on tour next year. Thank God.
When did you and Big Sean first connect? Do you remember the first time that you met or interact?
You know what? I don't remember the first time we met, but it was a while ago. Maybe it was at Coachella. Maybe it was in LA somewhere. I don't actually remember, but we saw each other a few months ago and he was just so great. So sweet and lovely in the studio. And he played me his new album, which is so, so good. And then I recorded a few bits for that. So I don't know whether he'll use them or not, but we'll see. Hopefully they were okay. I don't know.
And it's good to see that there's some history there too, because Big Sean sampled you, he said, over a decade ago. So for him, he said it's a big full circle moment.
Yeah, exactly. No, very cool. I'm always really flattered and honored when someone samples me on their music. It's very nice. It's happened a lot in the hip hop world. So yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. And you've had some high quality rap features on some songs of yours. Do you think if someone, like, given the opportunity, if someone came to you and they said, Ellie, we want you to feature a rap song on a song, would you do it? Would you be up for it?
Yeah. What would I feature on a?
Like, you would rap
on a song. I'm the fan, you know, I love to, I don't even know how you say it, but like, I love to challenge myself with my voice. And sometimes I speed it up, slow it down. And I have so many different sort of ranges that I like to mess around with. So I'm always up for anything, to be honest, with my voice.
Nice. I could see it. That'd be great. How did the concept for the video of Easy Lover, how was that brought to you? Because I feel like if I were to try and describe the video, that would be a difficult task.
I know. It's so hard to describe. Think of it as just like a video game. You know, there's no like storyline. It's more just like these characters that kind of come together and collide at some point. And I think those characters are something that I'd like to introduce sort of as a theme for the whole album. And I love the fact they're androgynous and kind of ageless and sexless, and and the fact that I get to play them as well, it means I can have an escape from myself, which I love wearing the wigs and having the different makeup and the glasses, and it was so much fun. And you know, it gives you a different level of confidence when you're playing someone else, you know. So I can definitely see that becoming a thing for me.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And you are such a good actor. And I know that in the beginning of your career, you were kind of pursuing that or looking into that, right?
Yeah.
Would that ever be something that you would do?
Yeah, for sure. I'm you know, finding the right things, I think, is really important for me. I'm still pretty shy. I'm not someone that's going to like walk into onto a set and be like, hi guys, where do you want me? You know, I think I really need to work on that and explore it a bit. You know, I don't think any actor sort of starts out being fully confident of what they're doing. They're always learning, and it's just all about picking up experiences from one thing to the other, and every actor gets better with their, you know, with each job. So hopefully it's something that I can explore.
Yeah, for sure. You've described the music that you're coming out with as a lot more dancey and upbeat. Was that the original plan when putting together this new album?
I don't know if it was original plan, but I think it was like the first song I did. I remember it was definitely was like a new era thing because I hadn't been to the studio in a long time and found out I was pregnant. And then I was like, right, I'm just not going to tell anyone. I don't want this to become a thing. I don't want to be defined by it. So just pretended I was bloated for a good few months. And got into the studio with Tom Mann, Anthony Rossomondo, and Andrew yeah. Wells. Oh my God, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Oh my God, he's going to kill me. But anyway, it was like a dream team situation. It was weird because the first 2 days we worked together, we were all like, this isn't working out. And actually, no, then we got Tom Mann in, who's now a really close friend of mine. And then it just all pieced together. And like we had these two songs, two really solid songs. And I was like, okay, this is where I'm going. And I loved the sound so much that I stuck with it because I followed my instinct and was like, this is what it has to be. That's just what I decided on. I think it's the right time. I don't know if I really feel like doing a ballad album or a sort of deep album at the moment. And it seems to be like everyone's on the same level with that. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like maybe in the last year, there was a lot more slowed down because I think people were in lockdown for a while. But then I think now we're just craving that dance music, like Beyonce and exactly. Everything.
Yeah, she knows it. Drake knows it. Everyone else is going to coming out with the house music soon.
Yeah, you know it. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm ahead of the curve.
Yeah, always. Yeah. How has it been seeing the popularity of Lights go back up thanks to TikTok?
Yeah, wild. That is so wild. I don't know how that happened, but someone just texted me saying, "Oh, the Kardashians have just done one or something."
Yeah, that was the first one I saw, and then it got me into like a portal of all of them.
But that's
the Kardashian kids.
Yeah, I was it. Okay, yeah. But I mean, it's crazy because that song was never like a big song here. It was it was a popular song in the States and Canada and. And so now for it to sort of be relaunched like that is just so strange. But you know, it's nice. It's this compliment. You know, it feels really, really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. How do you feel about how TikTok, it's obviously had like such a huge influence on the music industry at late. And with you having some history in the music industry, have you noticed a big shift? What do you think about it?
You know, I think they do need to figure out how to, you know, artists do need to be able to monetize it a bit more for themselves because, you know, it's all right for like mainstream artists, but there are artists out there that have, you know, songs that go crazy on there and you know, they need to be getting paid. I don't know. I also see like a really positive side to it in that young people are discovering old music and, you know, the songs that saved us when we were younger, the songs that helped us are now kind of being reintroduced to people. And I think that's great. I think in the spirit of just like music being the best thing for you know, for everything, for mental health, for happiness, for being able to express yourself and you know, understand more about yourself through songs. I think that can only be a good thing. And I love the fact that Kate Bush, you know, got rediscovered. I love the fact that the Fleetwood Mac, and it's always nice when your own songs like come back as well, and they get a new kind of love, new appreciation. You feel like they've just sort of been, you know, you've had this rejuvenation, and it's a good feeling. I like TikTok personally. I'm like a big fan of it.
Yeah, do you spend a lot of time on it?
Yes, too much time. I'm more of a creeper though. I don't do enough TikToks. I'm more just sort of creep on it.
Nice. Yeah. I like that. That's awesome. Not to end, I don't want to end things on a low note, but I do want to ask you this, as being such a strong advocate for things like climate change, when there is so much bad news, which is very hard to ignore, how do you stay optimistic through all of that?
I only try and stay optimistic because I feel like there's no other way to process it. I think that processing bad news in a state of negativity and sort of pessimism isn't functional. It's not productive. So like, you know, one of my favorite podcasts is called Outrage and Optimism, and it talks a lot about climate change and environmental issues that we have. Obviously it's all interconnected, you know, climate change, plastic pollution, biodiversity loss, you know, all these things are interconnected on this planet. And so so it's really good to listen to things like that because you stay well informed. But I love the title, Outrage and Optimism, because you've got to stay angry, but because that's really important. And you've got to keep shouting about it and speaking up about it. But you've also got to stay optimistic, because otherwise it's just, I feel like it just, you're not in a good place to really like to want to be productive. And I think my advice is to always, like I said, stay really informed with reliable news sources, and then write to your local, whoever, you know, who's your local representative, who's your local MP, and speak to them about your concerns and find out about local projects. You know, I'm sure if you just do a quick Google search of your local area, there'll be something, there'll be a project or, you know, some kind of group or organization that does something really good in the community. And I think right now, you know, with the powers that be are just being absolutely useless, you just got to start community level and get involved in local things. And it really does make more of a difference than you realize.
Ellie, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.